presentation today and the recording of it will be placed on it as well as an audio part of this. And as a result, people can not only hear, but they also can read the particular material on this particular subject. Consider with me something that is important to us today, and that is the idea of God's redemption. The scripture teaches in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Notice that this verse tells us of certain things to do to be faithful to God. Notice that it says to us to serve God in such a way as the grace of God teaches us. His grace teaches us and it saves us. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. At that day and time, it had been delivered to everybody in the world. This notation is made in Romans chapter 10 and also in Philippians chapter 1, twice in Philippians chapter 1, that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So they got that message around, and the message of the grace of God was extended to people right and left. What did that message teach? It taught us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Things that are not of God and things that are catering to the worldly lust of mankind. These things are to be refused and rejected by us. That's the teaching of God's good grace toward us. His unmerited favor instructs us to leave aside, to push aside, and not be participants in ungodliness and worldly lust. But to be participants in what we see here as a following of the Lord. That is, to add to our lives and to profit by our lives, being people who live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. As we live soberly, righteously, and godly, what we're doing is we are, with our minds and thoughts and mannerisms of life, being sober in our thoughts and mannerisms. We're not letting money corrupt us. We're not letting drugs corrupt us. We're not letting power and fame corrupt us. We're not letting foolishness corrupt us. We're living soberly, and we're doing right. We're doing right things, and we're doing those right things in a godly manner. That is, according to God's will, according to His direction. And as a result of that, we are people who serve this saving grace of God. This grace of God that appears in all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This is the way that we should go. This matches up what we read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, where it's noted to you and me that though he were a son, Jesus a son, yet learned the obedience for the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. If Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to those that obey him, what is his relationship to those who disobey him? And if on your part and mine, it's equal a reward for our disobeying the Lord, what's the benefit of our obeying the Lord ever? But that passage of Scripture says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made complete or perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Obeying the Lord is a part of faithfully serving his righteous way. That's the way the Lord would have us to do. That's the way the Lord would have us to be. Sometimes in our studies, we get hung up in a certain area. And as a result, we find ourselves thinking of only a certain passage of Scripture and a certain way of doing. And the Bible tells us about the importance of faith. And sometimes people, because of the importance the Bible places on faith as a beginning step to respond to God, the thought is that that's the only step there is to responding to God. And as a result of that, there are doctrines that are taught and practices that are done far and wide that do not serve the Lord faithfully, but they serve the Lord in the sense of that one idea of teaching faith, but faith alone. Are you aware of the fact that faith is said to be a work in the New Testament of our Bible? In John chapter 6 and in verses 28 and 29, some of them stepped up to Jesus and said, "What is the work that we might do, the works of God?" And Jesus replied to them in John 6 and 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Notice that Jesus said, that is the work, but it's a work of God. Now, it differs from the other type of works that are identified in the New Testament of our Bible. There are three other types of works that are mentioned. The works of the devil. In John chapter 8, beginning verse 41 through verse 45, Jesus says in that section, ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father, or the works of your father, you will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, even so do ye. They were doing the work of the devil, and that would not save them. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, it is noted that if we go back and practice the works of the old law of Moses, we fall from grace. When we go back and practice the ritualistic system and practice all that goes along with the law of Moses, looking forward to the coming of the Savior, neglecting the idea that He's already come, that He's already made available His salvation for us, if we go back under that old law and live under the dictates of that old law of Moses, we fall away from the whole system of grace. Galatians 5 verse 4. So that's a work that we should not do. And then in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it is noted not by works of righteousness which we have done hath He saved us, but according to His mercy He has saved us. Being a good father, a good neighbor, a good friend, is a wonderful thing in this life. We need more of them. We need more like that. And our communities are made better because there are good and godly people around us. But just being a good neighbor and a good friend and doing personal works of righteousness is not going to save anyone. When Paul writes there in Titus 3 and verse 5, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done hath He saved us, but according to His mercy. Thus we have seen three kinds of works: the works of the devil, the works of the old law, and our personal righteous works that do not save. But here's a fourth category of work that is identified by Jesus in that very term in John 6:29. The work of God, faith in Him, a work of God. If we're going to throw out all works because they do not save, aren't we going to have to, by that reasoning, throw out faith as well? Because it is the work of God, John 6:29. But if we identify the type of works that we are to throw out the works of the devil, throw out the works of the old law, throw out the works of personal vanity on the part of individuals and their righteous lives, why not embrace the work of God? Have that faith that the Lord wants us to have. Now, at that particular point in time, should we not, in our studies, ask the following question? Are there possibly other works of God that we should do? Since faith is itself a work of God, and faith we know is important, and we would embrace that, accept that, are there other works of God that we are to perform in our daily walk of life to have salvation from the Lord? Acts chapter 11 and down at verses 15 through 18, we read of Peter coming back to the people at Antioch and explaining to them about what happened over at the Gentile man Cornelius' house in Caesarea. The Gentiles had been taught the word of the Lord. They too had been baptized into Christ. And the whole message of what had happened over there, with six witnesses, by the way, Peter calls to his aside at his attention. And then it is noted there in Acts 11 and 8, verse 18, that the people looked at it, they talked about it, and they said, God had granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles. Looks like to me, repentance unto life is not a work of the devil. It's not a work of the old law, for sure, with a Gentile man listening to it. It's not a work of personal righteousness. The only thing I'm left with is that it's unto life. It's the work of God that He done. Acts 11, 18. They repented unto life. In Romans chapter 10, verses 10 through 12, we're taught that confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What is confession of the Lord? Is it a work of the devil? No. Is it a work of the old law of Moses? Hardly. Not a work of the law of Moses to confess that Christ is Lord. Ah. Not a work of personal righteousness either? What is it then? It's a work of God that we do to confess the Lord. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of flesh, but the answer of a clear conscience, or good conscience before God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Baptism says it now saves us. In what way? Some people object to that strongly and say, no, no, it's a work. What kind of work is that baptism right there? Is it a work of the devil? Some would say it is, but that's not what the text says in 1 Peter 3:21. It does also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh. It doesn't lead a person to believe that because they are immersed in water, that they suddenly have inwardly the good conscience before God. But it does tell us that at that time, if that individual, through a living faith, is immersed into Christ Jesus, symbolically, they set themselves to rid of themselves of the past and become a brand new person in the sight of God. We find this redemption story to be a part of our hearts and lives for sure if we find ourselves obeying the Lord. If I were to turn down any of these things, such as, if we mentioned, repentance, confession, baptism, and there are many others, that are works of the Lord in our lives, that we're to do, then should I not also turn down faith on the very basis? Because it's a work of God that we're to do. John 6:29. I hope that we will study these matters and be able to discuss with our friends, family, and others that we may meet from time to time, who may have a disturbing belief and idea about what we actually teach in regard to redemption. This morning I would not teach in command of anyone more than what the Scripture tells us that should be practiced by every single individual. And that is a living faith in the Lord. A faith that responds to the Lord as the people did in the New Testament of our Bible. Some need it, as you read in Acts 11, to repent and be baptized like Cornelius did. Some need, like in Acts chapter 8 and at Romans 10, to confess faith in Christ to be baptized. And all of them, because none of them had been baptized into Christ, they all needed to be baptized into Christ. And we read of that in every one of the detailed examples of conversion in Acts chapter 2, in chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 16, chapter 22. Of the book of Acts. We read about them going to take people past midnight being baptized in Christ. We read about an oasis in the middle of a desert being seen and said, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Preparation has been made for you today to begin that new life of journey with the Lord Himself and enjoy that redemption story and serve the Lord fully.